ULT. The policy of this lodge is independent devotion to the cause of theosophy, without professing attachment to any theosophical organization. It is loyal to the great founders of the theosophical movement, but does not concern itself with dissensions or differences of individual opinion. The work it has on hand and the end it keeps in view are too absorbing and too lofty to leave it the time or inclination to take part in side issues. That work and that end is the dissemination of the fundamental principles of the philosophy of theosophy and the exemplification in practice of those principles through a truer realization of the self and a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. It holds that the unassailable basis for union among theosophists, wherever and however situated, is similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching, and therefore has neither constitution, bylaws, nor officers, the sole bond between its associates being that basis. And it aims to disseminate this idea among theosophists in the furtherance of unity. It regards as theosophists all who are engaged in the true service of humanity, without distinction of race, creed, sex, condition, or organization. And it welcomes to its association all those who are in accord with its declared purposes and who desire to fit themselves, by study and otherwise, to be the better able to help and teach others. The true theosophist belongs to no cult or sect, yet belongs to each and all. This local branch, in carrying out the objects of the United Lodge of Theosophists, has a variety of programs scheduled. For January, the overall theme is the path of spiritual evolution. And the subject of the talk this morning is the power of a vow. Now on January 9th, there will be a panel discussion, and the title of that panel discussion is Mahatmas, Ideal and Facts in Human Perfectibility. Each Wednesday from 7:45 to 9 o'clock, there is a class being held in the Ocean of Theosophy by William Q. Judge. The class this Wednesday will continue a subject on the human constitution as it relates to the higher and lower aspect of man. Also on Wednesdays from 5:30 to 7:30, the reference library is open for research and study. It carries a straight line of theosophical literature consisting of books, pamphlets, and magazines, all comprising the original writings of the founders of the theosophical movement. Now, during library hours, there's always a student available to lend assistance in helping to locate references and answering questions of a theosophical nature. Also, you will find in the library a reference in connection with the evening study class. Now, just outside of the library, you will find on display the same literature you may read in the library. However, it is there for sale, and it may be purchased either during the library hours or before or after our regular meetings. Also, on Fridays, there is a special meeting held with relation to a comparative study of religions and philosophies. And this is the study that is hoped that will bring about more understanding among the various systems of thought, which will result in harmony and unity for all. Now, the subject of the talk for Friday, January 21st, is Buddha's Dhammapada. And these Friday meetings begin promptly at 7 o'clock and last for 1 hour, and the doors to the lodge are open at 6:30. Now, all activities of this lodge are free. The lodge, since its inception, has been sustained by voluntary contributions of time, of service, and money. And all are most welcome to participate. reading for today has been selected from Magazine Theosophy 41. Magazine Theosophy 30, page 41. Good resolutions are mind-painted pictures of good deeds, fancies, daydreams, whisperings of the booty to manis. If we encourage them, they will not fade away like a dissolving mirage in the Shamo desert, but will grow stronger and stronger until one's whole life becomes an expression, an outward proof of the divine motive within. Be a missionary of love and charity, thus helping others win your own salvation. There are innumerable pages of your life record still to be written up. Fair and blank, they are as yet. Child of your race and of your age, seize the diamond pen and inscribe them with the history of noble deeds, days well spent, years of holy strivings. So will you win your way ever upwards to the higher planes of spiritual consciousness. The spirit of resolution lies in the vow, in the will that energizes thought and feeling and results in action. If we attune ourselves to the inner, secret, and sacred part of our being, which speaks to us through the still small voice, and make a vow in terms of the dictates of that voice, it will bring into our lives an ideal, an objective. We shall then know that resolves and wishes we should make in terms of that ideal. The subject of the talk of this morning is a power of a vow.
We would like to start off today's meeting with a pledge that many of us know, and it's by Kuan Yin, and we thought it might be a good way to set the tone for the meeting. And it's just entitled, A Pledge. Never will I seek nor receive private individual salvation. Never will I enter into final peace alone, but forever and everywhere will I live and strive for the redemption of every creature throughout the world. So we just find that that is just kind of a nice beginning to set the tone. So as was said with the opening, the monthly topic is the path of spiritual evolution. So when we're thinking of a vow or a pledge, we wonder, what does that have to do with the path of spiritual evolution? But we will soon find out, because this whole talk, this whole class today, will be looking at what is the power of a vow. And in that search, we will also find out what it has to do with evolution. Because the making of revolutions is much more involved and much more spiritual, so to say, than one would actually think. And another little quote we found, let no one imagine that it is a mere fancy, the attaching of importance to the birth of the year. The astral life of the earth is young and strong between Christmas and Easter. Those who form their wishes now will have added strength to fill them consistently. But how do we go about doing this? So we will look at, during this class, we will look at the ideas of the importance of this time of the year, of how the idea of New Year's and the solstice. We have looked at what Christmas is in one of our classes this year. So we will also look at how this time of the year, even though it looks like it's so dark and dreary that everything has died, we will see how important and what is going on in the earth that can help us as well for making our resolutions. We will also look at how important the will is, because there are two aspects to will, and we will be looking at both of them. We'll also look at how to make a vow and how we can use this idea of making the power of the vow, how we can make this a practical application in our life. So the quote that was just read starts to indicate that there is more to the power of a vow than most people would think of. Year after year, people make resolutions, but they are making them without knowledge of how occult and how spiritual the making of a vow can be. Most people don't see themselves as a spiritual being. So because of that as well, a lot of people fail. And this is a reason why a lot of people fail to keep their resolutions, because they're not really informed about how to go about making them and what's involved with it. The new year follows a portion of time in the year, probably the entire month of December, where there's a lot of feelings of goodwill. It creates an atmosphere of well-being that we can also take the spirit and all the energy at this time of the year and kind of use that spirit as a basis for making resolutions, kind of pushes us forward, because as we come to the end of the year, it's natural for people to look back and see what had happened. And we see in the media, there's a lot of things that they look at the previous year, and they look at politics, what are the main things that happened during this year. A lot of people look at who in the news have died, that kind of a thing. So we're looking at, we're taking a retrospect, so to speak, of what has happened. And that just kind of makes us look at what can we do for the for the coming year. And it's a cycle, it's a period of spiritual and psychic renewal, and it's a stronger impulse at this time of the year. One interesting little sidebar is that there's a Roman god by the name of Janus, and it is Janus who January is named after. And Janus was a two-faced god. It is said the two faces were looking at the past and looking in the future. And we can look at this as are two different natures? Are they kind of warring with each other? Kind of an analogy like that. And are two different natures looking in opposite directions? So the impulse to survey the activities of the year by looking at the dichotomy in ourselves is kind of a nice way to get started with looking at these resolutions. But one of the things that has to be addressed, because theosophy we look at the idea of cycles as a very important idea in our philosophy. And we know that the year, in the grand scheme of things, every year that comes around, which is a cycle, but it's a smaller cycle than the huge numbers of years that theosophy sometimes looks at. But it is a cycle that is full of occult meaning. So if we are unhappy in the cycle that we are in right now, theosophy would say that we can break that cycle. But the important thing about it, if we're going to be breaking that cycle, if we're using a vow or a pledge, It is said that it is better to substitute a positive if it's something that we don't like about ourselves, not to say, oh, I'm not going to smoke anymore, because then you're leaving a hole in your life that was what it was when you were smoking. So it seems to be a more positive approach, because if we look at the negative, it's almost like we're empowering and giving that negative added strength to stay. So by substituting something positive, if instead of saying I'm not going to smoke anymore or I'm not going to eat sweets anymore, maybe just saying, oh, I'm going to, you know, I will pledge to eat better, I will be more healthy in my habits. So setting that tone with a positive idea. So negative resolutions put us in a negative position, and we really don't want to be in a negative position. So we have to substitute something positive. Another cycle of importance right around this time is January 4th. And on this date, we acknowledge the esotericist's new year when mind was lit up. So this is adding more energy to this time of year as well. And what's interesting is that we're looking at this time of year as being, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of positiveness at this time of the year, but when one looks out the window, it certainly doesn't look like a positive part of the year. You know, that's frequently overclouded, and you don't see any flowers, there's no leaves on the tree, that kind of a thing. But it is a hidden process, and there is change going on, and it's like an occult change. It's all going underground. The changes are, everything is hidden. And the winter solstice, which we just passed a few weeks ago, is when the sun ceases to advance into the southern hemisphere. It kind of comes down, stays put for a little bit, and then starts on its journey forward again. So we will soon see that the days are getting a little bit longer. But at this time, the Earth's magnetic forces are very strong at this time of the year. So this is what we're trying to use as a help for making our resolutions and our, to make our resolutions and our pledges or our vows, because we have this power that they are going to be, that we are going to be more successful with it. And also by the use of the power of vows, the great souls, our elder brothers, have populated the astral with these positive ideas and feelings. So this is something else we can take advantage of, is the power of their ideas, thoughts, and feelings. So we can be influenced and awakened by the great intelligences. We are more open to spiritual influences at this time. This quote is from magazine Theosophy, The Power of High Resolve. Resolutions are promises which men make to themselves. And with the ancients, the keeping of promises was the highest form of duty, an honor equal in value almost to that of life itself. If people of today generally understood the meaning and sacredness of promises, pledges, vows, oaths, and resolutions, and the karmic retribution they incur upon default, they would undoubtedly think twice before rashly giving their word. So we'll also be getting, we'll be looking at the karmic idea of not keeping a vow. So how do we make a vow then? We have to be aware of the power of speech and the use of words. Occultists have a special idea when it comes to the use of words and speech. They believe that words are living messages of communication, that when they are used, they should be, a lot of times they are secret and sacred truths. Using the sound, values, and colors, using the sound, values, and color tones to reveal relations between spirit, psychic, and material, between divine, human, and animal, between invisible and visible, good and evil. So without wisdom, speech cannot be true or good, and it can hurt people. A resolution implies a decision. It's a choice, which is made on the basis of knowledge. And it's this knowledge, this is one of the things that differentiates the true pledge or vow or promise from, say, just a wish. Because a wish is a desire or hope, a hope for someone's happiness, but a wish normally is not looking at the metaphysical aspect of it or the occult idea. It does not have this energy behind it. And usually this type of a wish may not come true even if the motive is high. Consequences and difficulties are all aspects that have to be thought out when one is trying to develop what kind of a vow or pledge or promise that they're making. We have to think of the consequences of them, because we want to make sure that what we are, you know, pledging or vowing to ourselves is something that is practical and something that will meet our expectations and that we'll be able to accomplish. So it, and even say with smoking, maybe even just so saying, I will try and be healthy, at least do it for 3 months. Even if we can't see ourselves not smoking for a year down the road, maybe starting with small steps. And we have to look at the idea of the will when making any kind of vow, pledge, or promise. And there are two aspects to will. Even though will is only one power, there are two aspects to it. There's an aspect of using it to the higher and using it to the lower. And so we want to make sure that most of the time we're using the will to make these vows from the higher, towards the more spiritual. And in the reading that was done just before the class started, it is called the Whisperings of the Booty to Manus. So the idea is we want to keep open to that higher promptings, and this can be used as part of our will to make these vows or pledges. And it's expression that makes man spiritual. So when we're looking at the idea of how the making the power of a vow fits into this month's overall umbrella topic of spiritual evolution, it is this section, using the will and making it from the vow from our higher nature, because this is how we change. If we make a pledge to ourselves to improve ourselves, maybe to study more, when we are successful, there is a change in us. And usually if we're following through and it's from the higher, then this change will be a more positive change in our personality. And it is this that can make us evolve to a higher state. So growth or evolution is accomplished by each occasion one is successful keeping the vow. Knowledge of self is gained, which is recognized as service to others. So when we're looking at practical application of this, we're in that time of the year when this practical application is coming to be, we're hoping that it will be successful. And so practically we're looking at, so when we're tying this all together, this time of year is the best to make vows, pledges, resolutions, or promises. But we're not saying this is the only time of the year to do that. There's more chance of success at this time of the year because we can use the occult forces from nature to help us be more successful. Because it is said that this is also the good time of a year if we want to start a new activity, say going back to school or maybe looking at a new job, that this is the time of the year because those decisions and those choices that we're making have the earth's power behind it. But we're not saying that we shouldn't do this at any other time of the year. If things have to be changed, if things come up, it's our duty to make these vows or pledges so that we can change and become, we can become better in able to, the universal brotherhood idea, that we can perform our duty towards that goal of universal brotherhood. The best vow is made with the highest good for others in mind. And we can make a vow any time of the year, but always to remember to use the will from the highest aspect and to think through the consequences of the pledge, making it workable and practical. And we did want to go over one thing, that the differences, if there are any differences, between a vow, resolve, and a pledge. A vow is a solemn promise. Resolve is a firm determination, and a pledge is a solemn promise or undertaking. So we can use these words interchangeably. And we'll end with a reading on page 44. And if anybody's interested in following up, there's a wonderful reference in the Theosophical Movement, volume 30, and it's called The Power of a Wish, a Resolve, and a Vow. In formulating their wishes, resolves, and vows, students of Theosophy should take into account their self-imposed obligations to the cause they cherish. There ought to be a desire to improve the quality of their service to the cause, to increase its quantity. Pure motive, aided by correct method, will free us from the bonds of personal karma so that the ego's one-consuming desire emerges to serve all human souls according to the plan of the great servants of the race. So here again, it talks about karma and how if one makes one of these vows, resolutions, or pledges, and if we do it with the highest in mind, and for whatever reason we fail, there is, you know, the readings have said that there's a karmic retribution that follows that. So we did want to start the class then with a question to everyone, and maybe we can just spend a couple minutes. And why do we make resolutions? Why at this time of the year? Why would we do that? Yes, in the back.
Well, it's sad that we're here for our faults and our defects, that that's why we reincarnate. It's a chance for us to evolve, to change,
so we can use the idea of why do we make resolutions, one of them being that for others, to help other people, and by our example, it is something that we can do to help others. Yes?
There seems to be an innate sense that we can progress, that growth and evolution is the natural way. There's almost a confidence, a faith in that can be done, and so therefore that becomes the springboard.
Yes, also the idea that we have an innate prompting, so to speak, to progress, and this is one way that we can perform that. Yes?
Well, I think you alluded to it in the beginning of your talk, that there's something physically going on. The earth is tilting, the days after the winter solstice, that we are reborn again. The sun, the days start becoming longer. And he mentioned that between the solstice and the equinox is the most psychic time of the year, when everything is, we feel like renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned that we need to take advantage of that rising tide. And in this time of year, we're recalled the Gita, where the resolve is everywhere, not looking for the results of our labors, being single-pointed, living in the moment, you know, and giving things up to the highest,
mm-hmm.
you know, you talked about brotherhood. So this is the time of year when that spark of our humanity is there. We just need to rekindle that fire.
It's interesting, too, to follow up on that most people, it's interesting that people are looking at this time of year and they kind of know that there's something special about this time of year, because we didn't realize this when we started coming to Theosophy about what is going on between the solstice and the equinox. But especially when spring starts, it's amazing that things start growing, and just a month before, the yard looks dead, and then all of a sudden we have the little bulbs peeking up, and oftentimes through the snow. So there is, people are touched by whatever is going on in the earth at this time of the year. So it's fascinating just to know that not only are we affected by it, but that we can also use that towards universal ideas. Yes?
We just wanted to add that, part of our problem is our personality. That's our biggest hindrance. And to make a resolution more or less universally, like we have many phrases in Theosophy, but one is, make Theosophy a living power in your life. Well, that's a resolution. That's a vow. It's something that you carry with you all year, and you try to, you know, build upon that and interpret it in different ways, and see why you're holding yourself back, and see how the personality is that which we have mm-hmm. to overcome.
And it is a natural thing. Something else that people do, and they don't know why they're doing it, is to take stock of what the previous year was like. We hear all the time, wow, I am really glad 2010 is done with. I certainly hope 2011 is going to be better. So we hear this all the time, at the end of the year. That, or, oh, 2010 was really great, I hope it continues. So it's interesting how you kind of look back and, you know, take stock and see where things need to be changed. And it was interesting in the readings, it talks about that it's a duty, that it's a duty to do this, because when we're looking at evolution, this is part of what we need to do in order to evolve. So it's just interesting how looking at this time of year so closely, it's just incredible that all this is going on and the vast majority of the people don't know. In, way in the back.
How do we make sure then that our motive is pure?
So how do we make sure that our motive is pure? Well, the philosophy would say that if your motive is, as was said about the Gita, if that motive is does not have results attached to it, that it's being done because it needs to be done. And if it's a true motive, that it will have, its effects will include universal ideas and not just personal ones. Is this a follow-up?
Wouldn't it also be important to make sure there wasn't a tinge of selfishness involved? That I'm doing it because it's the best thing to do
mm-hmm.
for me and for others, rather than the best thing to do.
That yes, that it not only for ourselves, but for others too. And in many respects, it's that in order for us to help others, we need to be in the best condition that we can, so that we can be. So in that respect, we're looking at something that's twofold, because we would be doing it for ourselves, but in the long run, we're doing it for others, because we will be more able to help. Yes?
In reading the Bhagavad Gita, like one section,
well, it's interesting about this time of the year, and when we're looking towards using that energy that's out there, it is important, as was said, that we look at the higher nature. And in that one quote about Bodhi whispering to Manas, we just love that, because we've all experienced something in the back of our mind kind of, you know, nibbling there, telling us, you know, our conscience, you know, do this, don't do that, that kind of a thing. And it is important to be thinking, if we can, more consistently from the higher nature and doing it with others in mind, and not me in mind, but using the I, you know, using that individuality rather than the personality. And you've had your hand up?
Somehow, it seems that also ties in with what we've discussed recently, I think it was last week, about the cycles. We were talking about people getting depressed as the days get shorter and you know, some holidays and whatnot. But we come to the point where we have the shortest day and the longest night, and so
Yes, the whole idea of cycles that occur at this time of the year especially. So it's something that we know is going to come around again. So if we, so it's interesting if we start now making a good, if we replace the bad the bad resolutions with the good ones now, we can set up a new cycle so that next year when it comes around, we will continue to make the positive resolutions rather than the negative ones. Yes, in the back?
There's an analogy between life and fire. That life is a fire, that we burn up our actions in this life in which we live. And it's the same thing with our motives. We test them against life itself, and we see if they are pure or not. And that's how we refine them. That's how we make them higher, is by testing them and checking them and verifying them. We're not perfect, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So, I mean, we all have our deficiencies, and the only thing is we have to just keep on going, keep on trying, ever making the effort to be of some benefit.
Yes, when we talk about making the vows or the resolutions with knowledge, the whole idea with that was just expressed about test, check, and verify. It's not something that we should just do on impulse to make these vows. We should take seriously, because now that it is known that there's a karmic result if we fail on these resolutions, that it's very important that we look and test and check and verify them with, you know, as part of the knowledge that we're gaining about what the consequences could be of these resolutions. Yes, in the back.
We were wondering if for so many people who make resolutions at this time, is there any help with just not doing it verbally, but writing it down?
Yes, that's a good suggestion, is about writing them down, because we know that when we write something, it seems to make more of an impact, because not only are we thinking, but we're actually writing it out, and we can look at it and we can come back to it, so that if we write it down and we feel like we're a little weak, that we're going to break it, we can come back and maybe even take a journal initially of this new resolution that we want to take, and kind of keep, as was said about the check and verify, test, check, and verify. We can look and see how we're, you know, how we're doing. Did you hand over here? Yes.
Sounds like this is pretty close to goal setting.
Well, a goal, well, for one thing, the Gita would talk about doing things because they need to be done, not to look at what we can get out of it. And usually a goal has to do with, you know, once we're done doing what we're doing, we're reaching the end. It's like the expectation is that we're going to get something back from it. And we wonder too if a goal maybe is more of the personality. We can certainly have goals of the highest, but we think that it's the idea that there's something that we're looking towards the end, not really looking towards what we're doing. Anybody else have something? Yes.
Well, the first chapter of the Ocean gives us a goal to be as those, or be amongst those who have perfected themselves to many. Many lives. I mean, it's an ideal goal, but it's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a goal to move forward, not to stay back, not to regress, but to always move forward, and that we are perfectible, and there's greatness ahead for all of us if we can just let go of the past.
So we can look at then that this idea of goal then can be a, you know, as we have higher and lower aspects to everything, then we can look at the idea of goals, that goals would have a higher and lower aspect to them as well, and we guess it would be on the motive then. You know, what do we want to, you know, with this goal that we're looking for, is there a higher idea to it? Did you want to make a follow-up?
Yeah, well, a lot of people who set goals, right, you could set goals for personal selfish reasons or,
mm-hmm.
or to attain unselfish goals as well. Thing is, one thing about goal setting is if you're doing it and if you've been taught by someone who's learned how to do it right, you, all along the way, you're test checking, you're
mm-hmm.
verifying whether or not you're on the path to that goal. And the value of that is, if you're not, then obviously you're doing something, you're not applying
mm-hmm.
the law in such a way so that the outcome will be attained. So wouldn't it make sense, in terms of resolutions, you know, is it, if we make a resolution, oh, I just want to do this, and then not see if we're on track, then it's kind of, you know, poof and soap bubbles and nothing's
mm-hmm.
going to happen, which really, you know, 98% of all New Year's resolutions are out the window by January 10th. You know, just so tracking whether or not you're doing it is test checking and verifying it
mm-hmm.
so that you can draw conclusions on whether you're kidding yourself or not. It's not necessarily a selfish thing to do. It's being mindful and thoughtful and reflective on the outcome
mm-hmm.
of the resolution.
Yeah, so we can see that there is a higher aspect to goal setting, and you know, we almost would, the process with goal setting, and we just remember at work, goal setting was always a big thing, and checking and testing and verifying was always part of it. So we can add, we can look at, if we're, when we're trying to keep a vow or a resolution, that, you know, goal setting can actually, we think, can be part of it, as long as we're looking at the motive and that the end point is not something totally personal, but something that can be used towards the higher.
Well, goal setting might be something to explore mindfully, and with this in mind, that goal setting is evaluating the environment and the externals, the conditions of living life, whereas the path to spiritual development is internal. And it may be that karmically, we can set all the goals we want and we can make every logical step to maintain that task devotion, and yet karma from the past
mm-hmm.
or collective karma may be such that we're unable to really accomplish those goals in the external world. So that a lot of the vow and the resolution is that this too will pass, whatever may come. In the front of the little pamphlet for this quarter, it says, strive to know what the causes and the meaning is in everything. Purify your thought as well as your body. Reason all you can, which would be goal setting. Feel all with your heart that you may, which would certainly be motive construction. And when intellect and heart fail you, in other words, when the karmic events are such that you can't find the path there, seek for something higher, seek for
mm-hmm.
something eternal and inner.
So it seems like from the comments and the questions recently about goals and goal setting, like everything else, we have to look at the higher, we have to check and make sure that we're on the path, the straight path, and that we have universal ideas always in mind, and that also from internally we need to be looking at the changes that are going on, not just out in our environment or, you know, or whatnot, that kind of a thing. Yes.
But how do we know we're on the path? And not in the thicket somewhere.
We only have 10 minutes left. So how do we know that we're up? Do you have an answer? Okay. The thicket might be the perfect path. Well, it's, you know, it's a totally inward decision that we have to make if to know that we're on the, if we're on the path or not. And if we if we're not looking at the goal, if we're not looking at the results rather of our actions, that it's universal in scope, you know, we can certainly think that that's, we're going the right direction. Yes.
Yeah, two things. Well, if you're in the thicket and you're looking for the path, then you're on the path. And the second thing is, if you are in fact on the path and there are thickets on the path, could just because you don't trot along the path often enough to wear out the thickets.
That's good. Good. Way in the back. And that's one thing we haven't really talked about that was mentioned in the talk today was about will. And we think it was in one of our Wednesday classes that the whole class was a discussion about will and desire. And we know about, you know, behind will stands desire. So when we're looking at making the vows or the resolutions, so we can have that desire to make the change, but we have to color the willpower in a positive manner so that it will be a higher type of a decision to make. And again, there's that idea of choice. You know, humans have that power of choice. So, you know, so much is involved with this. That was one thing that we were really impressed with when we were studying for this, was that we never truly realized in the past that it, somebody said, yeah, we'll make a resolution now and by the 10th it'll be gone. Well, that's the way ours always was. So it's interesting now to take it very seriously, because karmically there's an attachment with that if we're going to succeed or not. Yes.
Some of the things being discussed sound consistent with the literature that I referred to at times. In my literature, it tells me when you're off course, you're on course, and that you are the thing you seek. Mm. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes.
Talking about goals and vows, it seems to me that a goal is usually something finite. Like you want to accomplish a certain project or something. The end is in sight. Whereas with most general resolutions, it's a process. It's like can be something as mundane as I resolve that I will brush my teeth every day, or 3 times a day, or whatever. Or it could be as lofty as saying I will set aside that time every day, twice a day, to meditate. Or it's a process. It doesn't end. Whereas a goal, I see with a goal something, I want to write a paper, or I'm building something that needs to be finished. So that there are two aspects, and of course they go together in some way.
Yes, and that also brings to mind, and we didn't find it, and we did, it's interesting, I didn't, we didn't notice it anywhere in the references that we used, but the, we wonder though, when we're making the resolutions, not to make them too broad. Because if it's too broad, there, that might just be a little too confusing as to, well, what am I really doing here? That kind of a thing. So we wonder if the resolutions should be, you know, maybe a few smaller resolutions, not so broad. That's just an idea. Yes, in the back.
But all the great saviors of humanity started out, well, their goal, their ultimate goal was to save all of humanity, or at least a portion of it, that they made like the Kuan Yin pledge, and that the Buddha, you know, he finally achieved, I mean, he really is for the world. He was the most evolved being. And there have been other saviors who have been mostly toward a portion of humanity.
Hmm. But we also wonder with the great sages, when they made their vows, that we're wondering if there was like smaller vows that they were taking to reach the higher one.
But the resolve,
yes.
that power, that motive, that resolve is really to help all, to help all life, all forms of life, all lower life, to just have that overriding vow that propels you. That's what the resolve is.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
You said if you wonder if they had smaller vows in front of that to help them reach that, would be their lifetimes, their preceding lifetimes, they're moving towards that point. It has always been in them as a germ, and it grows.
Oh, yes. So we wonder then what we're bringing forward from past incarnations then that have to do with the karmically what we're bringing forward in regards to the kind of vows that we're making. See, there's so much involved with it. Yes?
We should always remember that the power of a vow is way above all karma. Therefore, keeping that in mind, the personal individual man making the vow will soon find out that every failure is success. Every failure is success.
Yeah.
Over time, failure teaches, and that's success.
And we believe it was HPB who made the comment about failures, that they're not really failures, but we forget exactly what it is she said, but we believe it, you know, to paraphrase it, that looking at the failures as a point of growth as well, if we learn from those failures and not to put ourselves down, but to use, to learn from them and to know that, well, if I failed this doing this, well, then I'm not going to do this anymore. Yes.
It reminds us of an old saying that is helpful, is a failure is never a failure unless it's accepted as such.
Oh.
And of course, if we don't take time to learn from, you know, from our fallings, then we're not going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but it seems that if we look, if we look at goal setting in the light of theosophical principles, it can be, we're not saying that it is a vow. Setting a goal is not necessarily the same as it, but it can be a useful analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the important things in goals, if you're going to set big goals, you have to set little goals along the way. And every day, if you're not hitting the little goals, well, if you're not a little goal hitter, you're not going to be a big goal.
Well, we've hit that goal of the end of our class, and we want to thank everybody, and we like the idea of ending with a positive spin on failures, because as was said, you know, the whole idea with failing is that we learn from them, and if we don't acknowledge what we did wrong, then we're not going to progress. The class is done.